This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Welcome to the Huntivore Podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand. Beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
Well, hey, folks. Beautiful afternoon here in Michigan. I should actually say balmy afternoon here in Michigan. The humidity is back, as is the temperatures. We're in our second heat wave here in July. I'm actually hiding in the camper. So if you're watching this via YouTube, you're going to be like, the background looks a little plain, looks a little messed up. Yeah, I'm in the camper. We've got some extra kids at the house. It is loud and I needed to find a way to escape. I have the AC unit running. So if you hear a hum, if you hear a buzz, that's what it is all about. But yeah, actually, this camper, I'm prepping it to go out tomorrow. So I know I pitched one thing earlier. So here is my shameless plug. If you need a camper in Southwest Michigan for a camping trip with the family, B, you are doing deer camp and you need someplace to sleep, someplace to basically just make base camp, let me know. Automatic Adventures is here to make your adventures happen. So if you need to rent a camper, give me a shout. Sorry, folks that are in Ohio, I'm not going to make that trip all the way down there. Although the Ohioan that I have on today, I might make an exception for this one. Good friend, used to be former podcast, O2 podcast, currently works in the lawn and turf field. Amazing person as well as hunter. And I want to open with this recent killer of wild boar. We have Andrew Muntz on with us today. Muntz, thank you so much, Nick, for giving us the afternoon, man.
Nick, you lost a lot of credibility there because only about half of what you said was true. I sell grass seed and fertilizer. So, the rest, I don't know. I don't know about that. But no, it's great to be here, even with my friend from the Mitten State, one of about two or three that I consider. So, yeah.
Well, good. Yes, we have. I would say, like, if we were to refer to Big Brother as the one that we can agree on needs to go down every time, I'm okay with that. So I find an allegiance. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think we've talked about this before too. So,
man, it's always fun to gang up on Nate when it comes to, you know, the weekends that we're playing the blue. But
Absolutely.
Yeah, Sparty's all right.
But yeah, let's quick back up. I did it in the intro. We had joked a couple years ago that we had on film, on digital thermal film, a confirmation kill from you with your 6.5 Creedmoor down in Oklahoma. And you were like, yeah, it is, but you weren't super, super excited about it. Talk about this year, specifically that one kill. You bagged a hell of a boar last light, last hour, but in amazing fashion. We had to do a couple things with your gun. Lay out what we had to do to get that to all come to fruition. What were some of the woes that we worked through?
Nick, I think if anybody knows me, they realize that every time I go hunting, there is a story. There's like a story of the story, right? There's always something. And I mean, I don't even want to talk about some of them because it's so, and it dates forever, forever. Like one of the first times I was out and this raccoon came out and it was really, I don't know, it was kind of like middle of the day. Why is this thing out? It's probably sick. And I went to shoot it and three slugs later, it looks at me and just like, shakes snow off of its coat. And I was like, I just wasted $12 and I missed this thing from 10 yards away. What's going on? Like, that's the kind of story that it just never fails. You and I were sitting in the blind a couple years ago in the Lazarus pig, right? We watched this thing just drop and then all of a sudden it got up and ran away. Like, so there's always something, right? And so this year we were down there and, you know, I have a nice gun and I've got the thermal on there. I don't use it that much. I'm not a huge shooter. Like some guys just go do that for fun. I do it enough to try to stay and, you know, keep my gun up to speed. So when we go down to Oklahoma, it's ready to go. Anyways, get down there. Like the first couple nights, it's jamming, or the first night it jams a couple times. And I just thought that was normal, right? I'm like, I don't know why all your guys' guns just keep going, but mine, for whatever reason, must be the ammo, something that's dirty, blah, blah, whatever. And the second night, I think we had similar problems. And so that third morning, I was like, all right, we're going to sit down and we're going to figure this out. So I started like doing a little research. I texted a buddy back home. I think that, you know, he had said, you know, you could adjust the gas block. Well, I don't know what the gas block is. I'm trying to like Google it. And luckily we had a little bit of time that morning, sat down, messed around with it. You and me, Nate and John. And all of a sudden I get this thing figured out where it's like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, this is, it's working like it's supposed to. Right. And this is how I am with everything, but it's like, if I don't have confidence in my gear, man, that's like, I'm not. It's already messing with my head. So to go out that night, I was like jacked. I was so excited. And we were sitting there in the blinds and it was, that night was pretty quiet. I feel like across the most guys, maybe John had gotten one or something, but nobody had really seen a whole lot. And so it was dark, I remember, and John was like, just keep sitting, like a good guy that he is, which we always joke that he's sets us up for failure, but he knew what he was doing. And sure enough, just after dark, I had a couple pigs come in, and like I had killed one last year. I remember, you know, I had the video, we had shot into the big sounder of them, but I'm just like that Lazarus pig ring is in my mind. There's a couple other times that we've been out shooting at a solo pig and I've missed or something, you know? So it was really kind of a redemption moment and everything worked out, right? They went in and I put it right behind its head. The gun worked. The bullet went to the right spot. The pig dropped. The other one ran away, but I did hit that one a couple of times because I remember finding the blood for it. So it was nice. It was nice to finally like have that monkey off my back, for now. And hopefully next year the gun is set up and it's ready to go and it cooperates. And oh man, it was a great way to end that final night there this year in Oklahoma. So
it truly was. I mean, the level of excitement and shoot, yeah, your giddiness. It went from a nervousness, it went from a not confident to when you guys finally figured out the gas block, when you finally figured out what the problem was, bam, you were on it. You were excited. And shoot, the proof is in the pudding there. Not only did you drop that pig, but shoot, the one through the eye. That was the one that really, like, that pig didn't go nowhere, straight through the cranium. It's still one of my favorite photos. I don't know if I'm going to post that photo. I'll let you post it if you want to, but it's pretty gruesome. But the fact that not only did you have this pig that was just down right there, but the smile on your face from that photo, so perfect. So again, congratulations on that. And getting, like you just said, getting that monkey off your back.
No, that was great. And can't wait to go back. So it feels like Oklahoma out there right now. It's hot as it is.
Yeah. Are you guys getting the heat down there as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, we got the 90s all week, and the grass is still green here, which is what I care about. So it's we're doing all right.
Corn's starting to look like pineapples up here. We need rain. We need moisture, not just moisture in the air.
Yeah, I don't know much about corn, but it's tasseling. I heard that, and it's tall. So,
yep, that's where it needs to be. Well, hey, one thing I wanted to talk with you specifically on. I mean, A, you're a cut dude. You do CrossFit. You take care of yourself. And I had, this has been something I think I had an episode on this too, is I made a change back in November. Really, it was a small change, but it's compounded and it's really worked its way into me taking care of better of myself. You know, I've always wanted to provide the best food on my plate for me and my family. But I have a dark secret that portion control is a big thing of mine. I love good food and I don't have an off switch. I can just keep going. I'm also a grazer, a snacker, and maybe it's not the healthiest mindset that I have there, but like if I get bored or if I get stressed, I find myself going to the pantry. I'd like to say I'm grabbing the best stuff too, but I'm not. I'm grabbing the chips. I'm grabbing the whatever. And ultimately, back in November, I really saw that was catching up with me. There was a moment that I saw a picture of myself that, I mean, I was already a tired dad. I was already knowing that, I've been slacking a little bit. But then just seeing those images, and really knowing like the kind of father, the kind of man, the kind of person I would want to be, that's not the shape that I need to be in. And now it doesn't ultimately end up into what is on the scale, but it was really a reflection of how I felt about myself. So even that mental sticking point that I was using food as a crutch, I was using snacking as my, you know, release, I was dog tired all the time, I didn't find motivation anywhere. And so I finally was like, hey, I've heard a little bit about this intermittent fasting. A good buddy of mine was doing that. And so I literally texted him. I was like, hey, tell me what I need to know to get started because something's got to change. Since then, I've gotten a few victories off of that. Actually, it was down in Oklahoma. I was the lightest that I had been. I had dropped down into the 199. I was sub 200. Really, really jacked about that. Since then, I took a little break from the intermittent fasting as far as the long period of time. I've still stuck with not eating breakfast, but eating lunch at noon, trying not to eat past 9:30, and then, 8:30, and then eat again at noon. So I've stuck with that and I felt pretty confident with that. In fact, I still feel energized. Since doing that, I've put on a few more pounds since the 199. I'm back up to like 205, 208. But I've also added in some weight training. Getting into that as well and being like, hey, if I'm losing the weight, I also want to keep the strength. So I've gotten into the weight training. We could unpack all of this stuff. But what I really wanted to do in this most roundabout way of explaining where I wanted to go is I've always put a lot of effort into me working for my wild game. I've wanted to make my wild game the best that I can make it. I want to make my wild game something that the family enjoys, something that I can share with others, something that can show that wild game really is an amazing protein. There's no gaminess. The gaminess doesn't scare me. The challenge of cooking, it doesn't scare me. But now I think it's time to make a flip. As much effort as I put into the wild game, I need to have that wild game start working for me. I need to flip this around and take the benefit of this highly nutritious, highly lean meat and have that work for me. And so that's where it got me on this road of trying to do protein bowls or trying to basically do meal planning, but fully encompassing our wild game. That is my mission, and I think I need some direction. So, Andrew, your first thing I want you to respond to then is at this point is when you're going through your week, when you're going through your process of, you know, when you're highly into your CrossFit, when you are, I don't want to say, because you haven't trained for like a triathlon or a Spartan or anything like that. But when you find yourself like in a good groove, what does it look like on your meal prep basis that you're looking to make sure that you get what you need throughout the day?
Okay, Nick. So there's a lot there, right? First of all, I'm going to preface this to any of your listeners, but I'm not a doctor. I have no degree in food or exercise physiology or any of that kind of stuff. Anything I bring up, it's like straight what I have experienced. I'm a divorced dad, so I have my kids about half the time, and I can really tailor my food for myself. Now, I know in a typical family, it's very hectic. Even when my kids are here, there's oftentimes I'm not eating the same things that they're eating, just because I need them to eat something, right? And I try to do it so it overlaps, but in everything that you brought up there on your intro part, I can tell you kind of what I do for eating on most days that are in the group, but there's other components too. It's not always that. I think one thing that gets overlooked a lot by us in the American culture is sleep. Okay, so don't rule out sleep, quality, quantity. That's something I take very seriously. As you guys are always up and going first thing in Oklahoma, and Sleeping Beauty's still up there trying to do something. But that actually, it's funny, that week or those 3 or 4 days down there, that screws me up for weeks on end when it comes to my sleep and everything. And it's just my general routine of life, right? Because those days just throw my circadian rhythm off and all that kind of stuff. It's things I don't understand the science behind it, but I know what it does to me. Mm-hmm. To answer your question on food prep and stuff, and I've been thinking about this as we were talking. So I just ate lunch, and I always will try, and I'm about to go on vacation, so it's a little bit different. I'm trying to clean out the refrigerator. But my goal when I eat lunch is I have a meat, I have a carb, and I have a fat. Okay, sometimes the meat and fat overlap, but like today, I probably had 6 to 8 ounces of pulled pork. So it's a heavy portion of meat, right? Get a lot of protein in there. I had a piece of sourdough bread and I had a cheese stick. Now, I think that's a very basic, like I said, because I'm trying to get things out of the house. On a normal day, it's going to be rice. It's going to be a meat. It could be ground beef or ground venison. It can be chicken. It could be pulled pork. And then some cheese, right? I might put a little hot sauce on it just to make it spice it up a little, right? It's not super culinary. It's not anything really that crazy, but it's really trying to get those three things. So I do CrossFit. Like, I know that's a big joke, but like it's become a major part of my life for the last 11 years or whatever. But every day, just about 4 or 5 o'clock, I go in to work out. having that kind of a portion leading up 3 to 4 hours before my workout, that usually gives me a pretty good, like, I can ride through that workout. I'm not bonking out. I'm not anything, no matter if it's hot, cold, no matter long, short, whatever the workout is, that usually like times up my fuel. So like I have to eat before 2 o'clock, timing wise. It's got to be in that like noon to two thing, in order to really try to peak that for later in the day. I'm trying to think. One thing I struggle with, because in all of this, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have pizza every once in a while. It doesn't mean you can't have some stuff to enjoy. It's just kind of knowing that, you know, when you're buckled down, if it's Monday through Friday and you're doing these meals, like that's what you're trying to do. I get thrown off because my job sometimes that causes me to, I take customers out for lunch or whatever. And then it becomes, that's the real challenge for me. And it's not a meal prep thing. It's what are you going to pick off this board? Are you going to go with the salad? Or are you going to go with the burger, you know, type of thing? That's probably a whole nother topic. But so in my big scheme of things, when I'm meal prepping, I really try to look for that carb, the meat, and a fat. I probably could be better at vegetables. I'm not very good at vegetables, but at this point, that's something I'm working on.
I would also hold you off on those vegetables as of right now. They haven't figured out that parasite that's causing diarrhea in everybody. So we're not going to do any vegetables.
That's right cool with now. Me. Vegetables are bad for you. I just heard it. So
no, that's our big joke here in Michigan. In fact, I just sent a reel to my wife. She's a big Nerd Cluster fan. She loves those Nerd Clusters that are out. And so then the reel was, you know what doesn't give parasitic diarrhea? And it was just a big handful of those of those Nerd Clusters. But here's what I liked about what you just said, and that's kind of where, like, really my what energizes me right now, or at least what I want to get myself on, is that Monday to Friday where I need a lunch, but I want to take and not worry about whether I've always just done leftovers of dinner for lunch. And the problem is with that is a lot of times those are super rich and, or the leftovers are of a pretty big size. And where you were saying, like, when I make your lunch, you know, Monday through Friday, there's a meat, there's a carb, there's a fat. I can literally put it into a Tupperware or a glass container and literally have like 3 or 4 stacks of them. I make them on, like, I'll make them on a Sunday, put them in there, and then literally grab one out. It takes prep time off me in the morning. It takes that whole idea of, am I going to get what I need? Like, you've already measured it. This is what you need, but it's not what I want. And then that's where I think I need to have that argue with myself. This isn't about what you want. This is about what you need. And so I think with you laying that out, carb, fat, protein, that's going to get you what you need. You were just saying too, like, you were a little heavy on your protein there. You're like 6 to 8 ounces. Do you still, like, as you get going through these, do you find yourself switching out carbs? Are there some carbs that maybe I should really focus in on, or are there other carbs that, like, I think I've heard both sides of the fence, at least on like a potato, depending on how you do it, mashed potatoes loaded up with cream cheese, like, that's probably not what we're going for. But to switch up like a rice and go with a potato for a week, is that something that you tend to do sometimes? Or do you like it to be consistent? Like, I know rice, I can do rice, I keep it rice.
I tend to stick with rice. I don't think that if you do potatoes, it's wrong. You could do them every once in a while. It's more the additives, right? Rice, it's rice. I don't put butter in it. It's just rice. It's, with potatoes, a lot of times we're putting them in oil or, butter, cream cheese, whatever, or sour cream, all that kind of stuff that adds to the calorie intake. And I think one thing, it's so simple, but it's, you got to remember it. If you're talking about weight loss or anything, it's calories in versus calories out, man. There is no other way to put it. So, you know, and I've heard people say you can't outwork a bad diet, that is 100% true. You can go out and burn all these calories and exercise and stuff, but if you're putting in just as much or putting in bad stuff, it is not going to help you. So I think when it comes to the carbs, things like rice tend to be pretty good. And everything's in moderation too. When I first started my endeavor into like really toning in my health, I was weighing and measuring everything. Now I've gotten to the point where I have a pretty good idea. All right, this is about a half a cup, or this is about 6 ounces, whatever. So I'll do rice. Quinoa is another one that is pretty popular. Some days I don't have any rice right now because I'm going on vacation, but I'll throw that meat in a wrap and I'll throw some cheese in there. So it's like a little, you know, burrito type thing. It is a carb. It does give you the energy from those carbs. I don't think carbs are bad, as long as they're done right, but it's not eating, you know, a large fry carb, right? It's a wrap. I don't do anything extra with it. It's not like I have that wrap and a piece of bread and rice. That's the wrap is the component of the carbs. So that, and then I do, like we've talked before, I do the sourdough. So I've got that as a quality form of carbohydrate, at least in my mind.
I was definitely going to go into that and talking about that. So yeah, keep going.
We've got, you know, the beauty of this, of what we're talking about, is we have good quality food, right? We're talking about the best meat on the face of the earth, the stuff that we've harvested ourselves. I love nothing more than to sit at breakfast and have a piece of, you know, venison with some eggs from my chickens and a piece of sourdough that I baked, right? Like, that is quality food, and you want your food to work for you. Give it good stuff. And it's like giving your car good, high quality gasoline versus some crap, right? Your body is going to appreciate that, and just the way it metabolizes things, giving you the energy and what you need for the day.
Yes. Yes. The only problem is I don't work like a car, Andrew. Like, I love to top off the truck, but if I continue to top me off every chance I get, like, yeah, I hold on to that energy, but it sits there on my gut and it doesn't.
You're a well-oiled machine, Nick. I've been out with you. So no, it's,
yeah. But I also, know, like you said too, on you were breaking that down. You can't outwork a bad diet. You can't outwork what you've put in. And I think that's probably my biggest, it's dead nuts looking me in the face as far as like portion control. But like even hear you saying, like with your sourdough, yeah, it's going to have the carbs. Your body needs carbs in order to operate. It functions on that. I think there's a movie clip where Ryan Gosling's yelling at a dude like, your brain works on glucose. You have to have carbs. And just getting those from that quality source is what you were pointing at. And then making sure you have enough, or like to know when enough is enough. You do it by sight now. You don't have to measure because you've measured for so long and you've tailored that to you.
And listen, man, there are so many diets and everything out there with, you know, whether you're counting macros or a keto diet or intermittent fasting. And I'm not saying that they all don't work, right? I think I've done them all and just had success to some degree. You got to find what works for you. And once you get in that zone, like, it's being strict with it, you know. And for me, it was always Monday through Friday, right? And then Saturday, Sunday, it was like, all right, let's go out to dinner with the family. Let's make something. Let's make a pizza, whatever it is, you know, to kind of reward yourself. And I think if you do that right, that as the weeks go on, if you're trying to lose weight, you'll see that it steadily decreases. So.
Good deal. Good deal. We talked about, yeah, knowing when enough is enough. We've talked about, yeah, those three things that are going in. When you're using your wild game, how do you like your wild game going into either your pre-packed meals? Is it like a grill and roast? Is it a pulled form? Are you, I guess, yeah, what's your favorite method? Do you like a whole muscle, or do you like it more like ground or in a shredded form? How do you end up using it the most, I should say?
You're giving me way too much credit, Nick, okay? because you know how I cook, and it's my deer are mostly ground up, and I bring back pork shoulders from Oklahoma, so I do a lot of I'll smoke pork shoulders. That's a big one. And that one's easy because when you're talking about food prep, that's what I'm working on right now is eating this week. Is I had done a pork shoulder. I break it off into a bunch of different containers. I stick it in the freezer and then I pull it out, you know, and then that's my meat source for a week. I'll do the same thing. I'll pull out a pound or two of ground venison and I'll just, you know, make taco meat or whatever. And that becomes my meat source for the week. There I do mix in chicken, which I buy from time to time. And those are just basically, I usually do chicken thighs, two or three of those with a lunch. And yeah, I mean, it's the meal prep and stuff. And it's really just packing a lunch, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to pack, I was thinking about this the other day because we had talked about we were going to do this. I was packing my son's lunch for summer camp and I'm sitting there, I'm packing it like my mom would have 30 years ago. And I'm like, well, he needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on white bread because that's what he wants. That's what he eats. We got to put some gummy bears in there. Got to put some chips in there. We'll put a cheese stick in there. There is a piece of fruit, right? Oh, he's got to have a sweet. He's got to have like a treat. So there's a Rice Krispie treat. I'm sitting there looking at this lunch and I'm like, this is not good. Like this is not, I couldn't eat this, right? This would go straight to my hips. But like, this is what the way that we grew up on was lunches like that. And honestly, it's probably needs to be changed when it looks at, you know, how to, kids' meal prep should look a lot more like ours. Now they don't have the palate. They don't want to, they might have a microwave to heat stuff up, but I know I just went off on some really weird tangent when you asked me on how I prepare my meat, but there you go. That's what you get when you talk to me. So ADHD my son has, but yeah.
No, that is a great point to even think like the way that I, and it was like, cause we were outside all the time as kids. Because again, we were working on the farm or we were doing things on the farm and we had metabolisms when we were kids. Like it wasn't portion control wasn't a big deal. Then again, I fell into my own traps and well, and I know like my dad would love to come home to a big meal because he'd been outside working so hard and then come flip around. Hey, things are getting easier. We don't have to do as much hard work. My metabolism shifts. But nothing shifted about the way that I was eating. So, I think about your son, you know, he's got a furnace going in him all the time. And I know my boys, they don't stop. And the extra little snacks, like shoot, the pantry right now, it ticks me off so much. They're in that pantry seemingly all the time. Doors open, lights on, and, you know, they're just constantly getting a granola bar or snack or whatever. And, it's one of those things like, is that setting them up for success? Is that another thing that maybe I need to jump in deeper? I'm thinking maybe I need to first give them an example to follow. And I am not the example. That's why I'm on this podcast with you, is to try and be a better example. But maybe one of the woes that I've got too is maybe I got to train my kids to eat a little bit better, to use this more as a fuel. And then be very sparing on our treats and our sweets, because sometimes those seem to take that front center. Everybody wants the sweet and the treat before, and then they worry about, oh, I'm too full for what I actually should have.
Yeah, kids are, that's probably a whole nother topic, right? Because we should set a good example. And I agree with you, we can do that. But they're still in that growth phase, right? They're growing, they got parts of their, you know, body, they're going to grow 10 inches in the next year or whatever. Like that one, if you set the example, now my kids, you know, it's one of those things that I have to warn them sometimes that, you know, what we say at the dinner table may or may not be okay other places in the world, because they love to be like, Dad, why can't I have pop? Is it so I don't get the beatus or whatever? You know, it's like, yeah, we get, okay. We don't talk about that elsewhere, but yes, you're right. That's why we're not going to do the heavy sugar drinks, but you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, that's so funny that he's calling it the beatus. Back to our meat discussion. I think you hinted it right there, because I was like, all right, what's going in? Are you keeping it as lean as possible? Are you seasoning? Are you dressing? What are you doing with that? And you just said, like, with the ground at that point, you were turning it into taco meat. It's not just, you know, you're not, this isn't such a Spartan meal that you are like, no salt, no pepper, no nothing. Like, you're adding a spice element to it. You're adding a flavor element to it to just give it something that it's like, oh, I can call this a Southwest bowl because I've added taco seasoning to it. You're dressing this stuff up. Are you using barbecue sauce at all? Do you dabble in any like salad dressings?
So I am a huge ranch person. However, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about this going into our talk, is that you do have to be careful with some of the dressings, right? Or the sauces. Things like mustard have like no calories in them. So that is one, if you're a mustard fan, have at it, right? I am a ranch person, so I use ranch sparingly. I'm trying to make my own ranch so that it's at least like really good. If I'm going to eat those calories, I'm eating something that's good. Mayonnaise can be bad, right? That's one that you got to be careful with. There's a lot of fat in there. Ketchup can have a lot of sugar in it. Barbecue sauce can have a lot of sugar in it. Sugar is extra carbs, right? So that's, and sugar, I'm not going to get into that, but that's one of my things that I try to avoid at almost all costs. But you don't have to spice things up and season it. Like, I'll do taco meat, but sometimes I do burgers, right? And I'll do a couple things of burgers and then pounds of burgers, and then, you know, reheat them for the kids, make it for dinner, whatever. And then when it comes to lunchtime, I just throw a burger in there with that rice, and there's my meat source. I'll put a little salt and pepper on it and stuff, but I'm pretty simple when it comes to what I want, you know, put in these bowls and stuff. You can add a lot of things, right? If in the right time of the year, I will make fresh salsa and I'll throw that in. So, I do get my vegetables, right? A little bit there, and it just gives a little bit more flavor, but avocado is a great one. Mm-hmm. To mix in like a half of an avocado, those are good fats for you in with that bowl and give you some more flavor. Occasionally I'll add some sour cream, and that's just like a little bit that I'll put in there. But, you know, it's, you got to find what works for you. And there's different collaborations. I think if you were to Google some meal prep ideas and these bowl ideas, my ex-wife used to do one that was like a three bean type of mix. And I don't know if it was like kidney beans or red beans, something like that, but also ground turkey would be in there. And it was pretty good. And that was a good one for like maybe some feta cheese as your fat. But like that was good if you didn't have a microwave. I used to take that one when I knew I was going to be on the road and not able to stop and heat anything up. It was like a cool meal. And salads, that's another one. Salads are a nice one because you get that filling. I'm just going on tangents, Nick. I apologize. But like,
no, keep going. Open up salads.
Salads are one that if you got to have a cool meal, that's easy. You can put just about any type of meat in there. It might be cold meat at that point. Go something like turkey or chicken that's maybe a little bit more palatable. Cool. Throw in your cheese, put a little dressing. My problem with salads is that I get sick of them. So like, that's one that I'm not eating week after week after week. There might be one week where it's like, all right, we're going to eat salad this week. And then the next week it's back to the rice or whatever. But if you were to do a salad and you've got your meat and your cheese in there, your meat and your fat in there, then it leaves you open for a different form of carb, whether it's a piece of bread or, you know, some fruit, whatever that you're really, maybe if you want your potato, I don't know, whatever. So something you can throw in there.
I love it. I feel like I've gotten, just as we've gone through this conversation, I hope like listeners are kind of going to the same thing. Like, I was coming into it with all these great, like, oh, there's got to be like a magic formula, and then not finding that. Oh, there's got to be like some like special secret to how this goes in. And it's honestly, like, just like you were saying, the amount that goes in needs to balance with the amount that is going out, the amount of energy output that you're having, finding the balance. am I going to hit this on the hit this nail on the head first week? No, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to play with it. On these, like what goes into it, maybe I'm thinking, maybe I was thinking too deep into it because you said, hey, just break it down into, you know, your body needs fat, you know, your body's going to need protein, you know, your body's going to need carbohydrates. Find the ones that seem to work for you. Some might do a really good job. Some might not. Your mashed potatoes, Nick, you probably shouldn't have those every single day. You'll have to adapt that. But going through this, ultimately, I think what I'm really excited about is that as much as I was always like trying to like, oh, well, I want to do that. I want to do this dish with this cut. And, oh, I want to do this dish with that cut. And ultimately, like, that's going to spend a lot of time in my freezer until I get around to finally making such grandioso something. Yeah, I got my burger. Yeah, I got in something. I'm actually cleaning my freezers out right now. So like I've been either doing like a pulled or in the pressure cooker, cooking a couple pounds of stuff, bagging it up so that I have it ready to go for shredded. That if we just need to add something to pasta, if we need to add something in for family dinners, like I've got the meat essentially in a more ready state than its raw self that I thought, throw it on the grill. I'm going to still keep a bunch of those, but now I've got bags of ground. I got bags of shredded. And I think making that stuff work for me every single day, as opposed to me having to work extra hard to try and make delicious meals where then I'm going to pay for it on the other side because I wasn't watching how much butter I put in. I wanted this to taste good. I want that gloss. I'm going to be putting all that stuff in there. But now having that work for me to take those elements of why we love our venison, why we love our boar, why we love our bear, you name it, why we love all this stuff that's naturally grown, let's have that actually work for me as opposed to, yeah, trying to doll it up all the time. So I think that's the huge thing that I'm taking away from this conversation is being smart about it. I already know what I know. We've just talked about like what are things that we should know and now applying that and just having the wherewithal and the balance to be able then to make that happen.
Yeah. I think it sounds very overwhelming. And like you said, everything we do, you just practice a little bit, you get better, right? The first time you made whatever dish, it might not have turned out perfect. The second time it got better. First time you went out to hunt, you didn't probably do very well, but then you got better. You figured it out. And it's like that with everything in life, right? So just give it a shot. If that week's meals didn't turn out, okay, let's try again. Figure out what wasn't good about it, what was good about it. Maybe those two ingredients don't go together, whatever. And as time goes on, write it down, right? And then recycle back. You still don't want to do the same thing every single week, but it's, you know, if you start mixing things up, it makes it much more enjoyable.
Well, good deal. Good deal. I feel like I feel like I've just turned a leaf. I shouldn't say turned a leaf. That snowballing effect. I made one big decision to change when and how I ate back in November. And it snowballed into now I've got a workout routine. It's between the bike, it's between rucking, and I've been getting into it's. I don't want to go to the gym. I want to do workout here behind my house in the woods. And then I got into essentially like sledgehammer workout or mace workout where you're actually swinging a mace and swinging a hammer. I'm enjoying that. I got a tractor tire that, man, if you have a rough day, you just go beat on a tractor tire. You're like, hey, this is, I feel better because of it. And working that way as opposed to trying to load up a squat rack, I feel like I did the traditional stuff a lot that I'm like, it just doesn't excite me anymore. But being able to go and push myself and get a full body workout in my woods, like that gets me excited. So like changing the way I ate, changing the way that I'm now approaching my fitness. And now it's led me over right into how do I fuel myself on an everyday week? So it's crazy to think like one idea change has snowballed into all this. If you would ask me in November, hey, Nick, you want to start planning your meals, I wasn't there. And it's so funny, like, that I don't even know the reference, but I always go back to it, like pearls to swine, something that is so meaningful and has value, but you give it to something that doesn't incorporate it, it doesn't do anything with it. I wasn't doing anything with that idea, but now that I've come full circle, I've gone through that mind shift, and it's led me to this, and now I'm taking that in and trying to adapt it. Liberating? I don't know if that's what I'm saying that I'm getting from this, or whatever. I feel way better. I think way better. Yeah, it's all come down to, you know, now I'm trying to figure out, shoot, how do I get the proper fuel to make myself look better? And it's just taking a lot of steps to get there.
That's what it is, right? It's baby steps. And if you try to do it all at once, you're going to quit because it's just too much of a shock on your system. And so at least, and again, I'm not trying to preach or anything, but just what I've found, it's you make that first step of the intermittent fasting, and then you add that, you know, gives you more energy to then perform those workouts, which then hopefully helps you sleep better. I know a lot of people that don't sleep very good, right? And for me, most of the nights, it's like 10 o'clock to 6:30 straight through. I sleep pretty well. Maybe I'm just blessed in that category. But I think no matter what, it does take work, and implementing one step at a time. One of our mutual friends, I encouraged him to go walk, right? Just go for a walk, right? And every day I try to go, I'll do these stupid workouts that are insane and hurt, but like I try to go for 2 miles of a walk. For me, it's more of a mental clarity, clear my mind. Me and the kids, if they're with me, I count wildlife that we see, rabbits, deer, dogs, whatever. But you know, Jesus didn't run it anywhere. It never says that he was running in the Bible. He was walking, right? So go for that walk, you know, it'll help you to start that process of getting, you know, your body heading in the right direction. One thing that I wanted to say, on top of all this meal prepping and stuff, right? So you're going to look at this bowl and you're going to be like, this is it. This is all I get to eat. Throughout the day, if you're going to choose other snacks, right? And you talked about grazing and stuff like that. Having snacks is not a bad thing, right? A lot of times for me, it's like middle of the afternoon, might be a piece of fruit, might be a handful of, you know, mixed nuts or almonds or something like that. That'll help you in getting between these meals throughout the day. And then the other thing that I'm always big on is don't drink your calories. If you can, drink water or things that don't add additional calories to your intake. I drink Diet Coke. That's probably got its own issues, but coffee without tons of sugar and milk isn't a good option. Zero calorie Gatorades or Powerades, those are good options to keep yourself hydrated. So I don't know. We could talk about this all for days, Nate.
Well, you're a wealth of knowledge. You're a wealth of wisdom, Andrew, because it's been a long time since I've had to think about it. It's been a long time for me to actually put the rubber on the road. You know, my wife's very good about it. And it's funny how I can turn a blind eye to just be like, well, you know, I'm going to eat this with the kids. Or like, you make something really good and I go back for seconds and she's like, do you need that? And you know, I kind of give that like, yeah, I'm hungry. Like I didn't think 2 seconds about it, you know, and she's always been like, well, you ate that pretty quick. Why don't you like sit for 5 minutes, let it sit there and then see if you want to go back for it. And it's all these like little things that I really like switched off of, but it wasn't until I was in that spot that I could really now think about it. You know, I catch myself now going in the pantry, standing there, and then being like, what are you doing? Do you need to be in here? No, you just had dinner an hour ago. Get your ass out of there. And that has helped. I mean, I still, there's roadblocks where all of a sudden the Frito-Lay chips are just sitting in my hand. And, you know, if I had 2 handfuls and I'm like, okay, put them back because otherwise you're going to eat this bag. And that's going to be some things I got to work through. But I like how you're just saying, like, take these baby steps in here and don't sabotage yourself. Just like you said, like, don't drink your calories. Like, how often do you think about what's in the drink? Oh, it's not food. Well, it's acting as food. It's acting as fuel. So you got to watch out for that.
And I'll tell you, there's another thing that if you do this for a while and you, I mean, I'm talking, you're seriously eating quality food and not packing full of preservatives and all that other kind of stuff. The first time you go eat a fast food meal, you're going to feel like you want to throw up, and you'll feel your body rejecting that food. It happened to me a couple times where it was like, and I was super strict. There's times where I'll be a little bit, you know, whatever, less strict. Then to go eat fast food, and I'm like, this is terrible. And your body just feels like crap. You just don't. And that is your body rejecting stuff that it doesn't want, that it's not supposed to have. So I think if you can make those strides with your meal prep and help moving yourself more, I know you eat good food already, but like getting the portion and everything, you are going to feel so much better. You probably already do.
I've gone through two hurdles and I'm feeling amazing, and it's like I'm ready for another hurdle. And this is like one of those root causes.
You don't get any sleep and you eat Brahms and oatmeal cream pies for 3 days straight every year in the spring, and we go back to square one. So
I will, if I do this, Andrew, if I make sure that I watch what I eat, I make sure that I, you know, portion myself out, that I work out, and that I'm getting all the sleep that I can, I am going to do whatever I want on that Oklahoma trip, because it's only
that's
3 days.
That's what I do.
I'm going to get maybe a handful of hours on the whole weekend of sleep. We're going to go to Brahms. Shoot, we went twice this year. We went twice to Brahms. And then, I mean, on top of the milkshake as well, the strawberry milkshake out of Brahms is top notch. And then, yeah, the oatmeal cream pies. And, well, we did switch to sugar-free. We do have sugar-free Red Bulls on the turn of our night hunts. So I don't know. I'm not going to give that up completely. There's going to be some things that I have to hold on that keep me human.
Listen, Nick, that weekend is the epitome of what you should not do. So we should just take notes and be like, don't do this. Don't do this.
Did I do it in Oklahoma? Well, and then I shouldn't do it on a Thursday here in Michigan.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, so Andrew, what's left of preparations for this fall? Do you have any big hunts planned out? I think I saw the group chat. You're already planning some stuff. You're heading out to PA again.
Well, listen, let me tell you, I shouldn't say this. PA knows what's up. Big shout out to that DNR state, whatever. They are welcoming of hunters. But yeah, everybody in Pennsylvania is just like, shut up. Yeah, I think I'll go there. I'm probably going to come up your way to go to Drummond.
You go way up north again
this year, although you guys changed your rules around, so I got to look at that a little bit. Then probably just in Ohio. You know, it's the fall is busy for me at work. Basically, the month of October, I don't have any opportunity to hunt or to do anything, maybe on the weekends. But so then November, December will be go time. So nothing too crazy this year, though.
Good. I still don't have everything in a row. I might join Mitch out in Pennsylvania. I don't know if it'll line up with you. Got the green light from the family, and now it's just trying to figure out the chess pieces of how do I take the work off. Sometimes I feel like education is always a hard way to get a long period of time off. I do have a student teacher this year, so if it lines up correctly, he has taken over all the classes and all the teaching at that point. So I'm like, shoot, dude, peace, you got this. I think by law I have to have a sub that has to be there, someone who's like gone through all the background checks and everything else. But anyway, have the sub there. I got like two subs now that I can call, so I'm like, yes, I haven't had that ability to have like a a sub on call. And so now I got two of them here that I'm like, yes, if I balance it between them, I'm thinking I do that full day of work Wednesday, personal day Thursday. Oh, I was sick Friday. Oh, I was sick Monday. And then like go back in on Tuesday. So I think that's how I'm going to play it out. I think that's how we're going to do this. But yeah, now it's like, now I get to scheme with our friend Mitch over there and figure out when do I got to get over there. Cause I do, I want to put a bear down. I want some bear sausage. I want some bear grease. I want to do all the stuff with the bear. I want to make protein bowls for midweek with bear. And I want to make sure that I'm keeping things on the regular.
Having goals, man. That sounds awesome. So,
well, sweet. Andrew, hey, I'm going to let our listeners on out. So hold on for just a sec. Folks, I'm looking at my ticker here and it is 53 minutes. We've been talking about portion control. We've been talking about things we should be doing to our bodies and maybe sometimes we don't do as much. Big goal for me is as I continue to grow physically, here I am at 41, and trying to make my 40s way better than my 30s. All the mistakes, all the neglect that I had in my 30s, I want to see if I can't correct a lot of that here in this next decade. So it may be for some of us, this is just, you know, base knowledge, but for some, for others of us like myself, I'm still going to work hard at making my wild game the most delicious that I can make it. But at the same time, there's going to be a balance. I got to have it work for me. If I'm going to stick around and love the stuff, then I got to make sure that I can stick around and continue to be an example for my kids, be someone who can last into my 80s and 90s and still be mobile, still be trying to get out in the woods. If I can be 80s and still like have my grandkids or my kids take me out to the stand, like I think I'm doing something right. And so that's what we're setting ourselves up for. So folks, whether it's trying to field dress a new species that you got this year or the same old whitetail, or if you're taking that knife and you're trying to now cut up portions so that you can use them on a Tuesday and Wednesday to get your macros, to get your fats, to get your protein, and to get your carbs all in one spot at the right portion size. Whatever knife you're using to do those jobs, make sure that it is very sharp.